Would the children come forward, please? Woohoo! Good crowd. Good crowd. Good crowd. I have questions, and I'll bet some of you know some of these answers. What is 10 times 10? Carson. 10 times 10 is?
100?
Yes, yes. How many states in the USA? How many states, Alex?
50.
50, yeah. What is the law called that means objects fall to the ground? What's the law called that means objects fall to the ground? You drop something and it falls. Lauren, you remember what that's called?
Gravity.
Gravity, yes. In math, there is addition, subtraction, multiplication, and
division.
Division, right, Lindsay? Is Earth a planet or a star? Cora?
A planet.
A planet, yes. Where did we learn all these answers? Alex?
School.
School. Where else might you learn some of these answers? Annika? Maybe at home? Yeah, yeah. Carson, where else?
Brain.
From your brain? It just originated there. Carson, you are unusually blessed. Yes, Lane.
From school mostly.
From school mostly? Yeah. Okay. 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 In our Bibles, in a place called 1 Peter 3:15, it says, you got places to go? You got places to go, Vincent? Says the passage says to always be ready to answer people who want to know why you have hope. Why do you believe in God? Why do you come to church? To have answers for things like that. Now, that might seem like a pretty hard question, but maybe some of you have an answer. Does anybody have an answer to a question like that? So I think, since we have so much wisdom here, we need to ask the grown-ups to give us some good answers so that we know. Why do we have hope? Why do we believe in God? Why do we come to church? Those are big questions. And 1 Peter says we should have answers, right? Yeah? We should, yeah? Well, come. Okay, okay. You got places to go, don't you? Yes, you do. Do we have answers? Come on. Do you have any answers? Hmm? Any grown-ups have answers?
To help our soul.
To help our soul. What else?
To grow.
We come to church so we can grow and learn.
To see my friends.
Yes. Yes, we come to see our friends, don't we? Yes, we do. Why else would we come?
Sing.
Why? To sing. Yes. Yes. Mr. Bill's favorites, huh? Yeah. We come to sing. Why else? It helps me feel complete. It helps me feel better. What else? To eat cookies. Yeah. Yeah. We like cookies, don't we? Yeah, we like cookies. Why else? What? Somebody had an answer up here? Did you have one, Annika?
No.
Oh. To help us. Yes. Yes. Why else? To learn about God's grace. To learn that God loves us, huh? Yeah, some of you are in the Christmas pageant. Are you learning something there? Yeah, what are you learning, Carson? Anything you can share?
Not really.
Not really, okay. It's hard when you're put on the spot. You grown-ups aren't all having answers here, are you? Okay.
Never
share. Yeah, well, then you have to show him what sharing is like, right?
I know I share everything with my little brother, but he doesn't share anything.
When he gets bigger, he'll remember. You're teaching him how to do that. Okay. Okay, so we're going to learn from all these loving grown-ups all these answers so that if people ask us, we'll have good answers, right? And some of these questions are kind of hard. Some of these questions are kind of hard, but we can do this. All right, we're going to say a prayer. And I have bookmarks and stickers and things in my basket. And then I believe Wanda has plants for you downstairs so you can practice. So let's make a circle. Can you stand with us? You going to hold our hands? There you go. There you go. All right. There's a spot somewhere, I know. Lauren went in. There we go. Jesus, we thank you for coming to earth to be with us and teach us. We ask you to help all of our families take good care of their children. We thank you for these children and all the children all around the world. And the people say, Amen. Very good. Okay. He's big for you, isn't he? Good job. Thank you. Yes. Oh, yeah, somebody put candy in there, didn't they? Please, would you pray with me? Dear God, forgive us when we forget you. Forgive us when we forget all you taught us to do. Help us remember to love, forgive, share, welcome, and spread your good news. We thank you for all our blessings. We thank you for family, friends, paychecks, and pensions. We thank you for communication that helps us love across miles and oceans. Bless you, God. Jesus, thank you for healing, recovery, and new beginnings. Thank you for the comfort in grief and loss. Thank you for laughter, shiny paper, a glass of cheer with good friends. Spirit, Holy Ghost, make us gentle, make us brave, make us loving, make us just, make us yours. We pray all this and the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And from the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Here ends the reading from the first chapter of Mark. My message this day is called Announcements. That first sentence earned 3 pages of explanation in my favorite commentary. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, Son of God. Good news, or gospel, probably meant the same thing for Mark as the Apostle Paul meant by it. The preaching that Jesus was the source of salvation, being saved. The book of Mark is intended to be about Jesus, not necessarily a record of his words. Though we turn to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, for our best record of his words. Paul's writings were our earliest recorded, and he already used the name Jesus Christ. So listeners of Mark's Gospel probably already thought of Jesus Christ as his name. Christ, or Christos, meant the anointed one in Greek. Paul's works and the Gospels were written in Greek. Messiah also means anointed or chosen one, from the Hebrew word Mashiach. In that first sentence, Jesus is proclaimed Son of God. Way back in Psalm 2, the chosen king is called Son of God. It's a royal term. When new kings were anointed with oil as a symbol of God's choosing, they were said to be adopted as sons of God. In the Gospel of Mark, a voice from heaven declares the newly baptized Jesus to be God's beloved son. Even the demons he later casts out recognize that Jesus is Son of God. Often we have spoken of the scolding of the prophets, that the prophet's job was to chastise people, correct their behavior. Yet in John's reading from the prophet Isaiah, and here in the arrival of John the Baptist, we announce good news. After correction comes the good news via the bearer of good tidings. In Isaiah, we hear that the prophet has come to speak tenderly, to comfort God's people, and that God will hold them, carry them gently, as a shepherd carries his lambs. The author of Mark takes us back to the words of Isaiah, to the prophet Malachi, and to the Psalms. Here is John the Baptist. He's the one promised by Isaiah, the one who will prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John understood that he was merely there to get their attention, warm up the audience, to make them look up expectantly. Look, here he comes. John was proclaiming a baptism of repentance, of changed minds and hearts. He was so good at capturing attention that crowds came from their villages in the hills and even ventured out from Jerusalem because they had heard about this wild-eyed preacher. Even though he was shaggy and odd, they wanted to see and hear for themselves. They were used to respectable rabbis dressed in clean robes, sitting down at their tables to visit. This John the Baptizer was wearing rough camel hair clothes, and he'd been out in the desert baked by the sun, eating whatever he could find, including grasshoppers and wild honey. He did not care how he looked. God had called him since birth to do a job, to make the announcement, prepare your hearts, here he comes, the one who comes in the name of the Lord. John followed his orders, obeyed his calling. How about us? After the resurrection in Mark 16, Jesus told his followers, go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole of creation. It's our turn. The prophets did their job. John the Baptist did his work. The disciples, Paul, they did their jobs. All who followed faithfully by proclaiming the good news and preparing hearts for God's love also prepared the road for us. They kept the faith through persecution, immigration. They carried their Bibles over oceans and mountains. They invited and welcomed. They survived translations and all sorts of change. They built this church and every other. Our ancestors went into all the world and proclaimed the good news to all creation. It's our turn, yours and mine. How shall we go about it? At church camp, at least once each day, a leader would stand in an assembly or in the dining hall and bravely say, I have a few announcements. Typically, there was so much chatter and hubbub that few heard that first proclamation. So the rest of us responded, announcements, announcements, announcements. A terrible death to die, a terrible death to die, a terrible death to be talked to death, a terrible death to die. Announcements, announcements, announcements. That got their attention. In fact, by the end of the song, everyone had joined the chorus. Everyone was looking up and listening. Jesus called his followers to proclaim the good news to our next door neighbors and all creation. Prepare the way of the Lord. Smooth the roads. Get everyone looking up in eager anticipation. It is good news. Just a word of caution. John the Baptist was executed by Governor Herod Antipas. Peaceful, loving Jesus was executed for insurrection. Those of us who call attention to injustice, oppression, and to evil are a threat to governments and other powerful people. Martyrs happen. Yet we are called to proclaim. We are called to prepare the way of the Lord. How do we do that? In a recent book called Real Good Church, Reverend Molly Baskett talked about her great and growing congregation. The consultant who got them headed in the right direction told them, "Your job is to be an asset to your neighborhood and to let people who don't know you see you acting like Christians." Let people see you acting like Christians. There's a thought. That probably includes the Tiffin University students we invited to the Crop Hunger Walk. They were so joyful afterward, they made a video. Bill's got it linked on our website now. Andrew Gifford and I were on campus inviting and explaining this walk that feeds the hungry. That day of the Crop Walk, we explained how the walk raised money and fed the hungry around the world and right here, and we helped them join in. One of the reasons we include our successes in our newsletter is because our newsletter is an evangelism tool. Take an extra copy to your friend and tell her about all the ways we fed the hungry, how we put up bicycle racks to be more welcoming, how we welcome children, old folks, and strays. We welcome AA to use our lounge. Through First Call for Help, we pay for prescriptions, overdue rent, and utility bills. Jesus touched lepers no one was supposed to touch. Imagine their plight, growing up in a tight community and suddenly being thrown out, not allowed to live with your family or be hugged by your old buddies. And then Jesus, this teacher everyone was buzzing about, touched you and healed you. Then he told you to go to the priest who could allow you to go back home. Loving the unloved, touching the untouchables, feeding the hungry, reasons they hurried to be near Jesus. With authority, Jesus also preached a new word of love. They had heard that being poor was their fault. They had heard all the rules about Sabbath and washing rituals and cooking pans that the poor could not hope to afford or maintain. With new authority, Jesus dismissed rules that burdened people. He healed the hurting on God's special Sabbath day. He said Sabbath was a gift, not a chore. Good news for the poor. Cora was outside the church ringing a bell and inviting people in yesterday. I met Anne LaForge at the laundromat and invited her to join us. Diana Hoover recently invited someone to church who thought it was great news that she did not have to dress up. What sort of good news might you share? How will you capture the attention of someone who needs to be here? Do you pray for those in need? Do you pray for those in need of St. John's United Church of Christ? Do you listen for hunger, loneliness, grief, or questioning among friends and those you encounter? Do you build relationships with new people in church and out? Do you allow for the possibility that you might have a wonderful, deep conversation with the person behind you in the checkout line or the person walking by as you walk into church? Look strangers in the eye and smile, for we are called to prepare the way of the Lord. Will we follow our orders, obey our callings? The prophets, the disciples, they all did their jobs, as did our ancestors right here in Ohio. Go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. Jesus said, that is your calling. Looking at John the Baptizer, it does not seem to depend on fine robes or being named a minister by the powers that be. No one has ordained Cora yet, and lots of folks were listening to her with big smiles on their faces. Look into eyes. Listen. Love. Tell them what you love here. Tell them about the good works that get you excited. And let people see you acting like Christians. Amen.